I'm glad to be here with you folks. I appreciate the privilege and the blessing. I want to look at something this morning and ask a question after I read a couple of three different segments of Scripture. First one I want to read is in 1 Samuel chapter 22. And I want to read verses 1 and 2. 1 Samuel 22, 1 and 2. It says, David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. Now, that is a great bunch of folks to have with you. Everybody distressed, everybody that's in debt, and everybody that's discontented. That is a recipe. That is a recipe for a mess, it would seem. But that's what God allowed David to have.
Yes.
Those are the men that came to David, besides his own family. Now let's go to chapter 30. And we'll read some more about this bunch. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Now it happened when David and his men, now that's that same bunch that we read about, them, that 400. He probably had a few others besides them by now. But
David and his motley crew.
Yeah, David and his motley crew. So it says, David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag, and burned it with fire. Now, Ziklag was a town that the Philistines gave to David. David, because when he was running from Saul, went down and made like he was a traitor to Saul, and well, he was going to serve the Philistines. And so he would go do stuff that they thought he was doing for them. And one day while he was on one of those journeys, he got back, after he got through, he come back and the Amalekites, another group of people, come in and burned Ziklag and carried off all their families. It says they had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire. And their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Then David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. Now here we are. They all been out together doing what they were supposed to do, and they get back home and there's a bad situation, and everybody decides that it must have been David's fault, so they're going to stone him. Now this is the same bunch of dogs that he had with him. The distressed, the discontent, and the debtors. Now, and they decide they were going to stone him. And you know, I found this out. Now, this is just a little truth I'll slip in here. Strain, stress, and opposition, which is what those guys were experiencing. Those three things, strain, stress, and opposition, will either do one of two things. It'll either bring out the best in you or the worst.
Amen.
It brought out the best in David. He went to the Lord. It brought out the worst in the other guys. They decide they's going to kill David because it surely must have been his fault. And it says, David strengthened himself in the Lord. Verse 7, then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men. Now he has 600 instead of just 400. So there's a couple hundred others that had come to him. They came and they pursued the Amalekites. And it, if you read on in chapter 30, it tells them that they recovered everything and a great amount of spoil that the Amalekites had taken, not only from them when they took Ziklag, but from a bunch of other stuff too. So here we are. These distressed, discontent, and debtors that David had, they all gathered to him. They were with him as long as everything was going good. But when the chips were down and it got hard, they decided they probably ought to kill him because he's probably the guy that caused the problem. Mm-hmm. Now, let's go over to some other scriptures. And let's see if I can find where it is here, if I got it written down just right. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 11. 1 Chronicles chapter 11. And
you know, the scripture where it says he strengthened himself in the Lord, or he encouraged himself in the Lord, is, excuse me, one of my favorite scriptures. And you think about, that was some pretty serious circumstances.
Yeah, it was.
He was doing what he had felt God said do. So, you know, if he could encourage himself in the Lord and get with God in the middle of that, then we can encourage ourselves in the Lord and visit with the Lord in the middle of our circumstances and be encouraged. I mean, the folks was fixing to stone mm-hmm. him, and all of his people were gone, and he, of course, I'm sure he felt like it was his fault, and it was a pretty rough time.
Yeah.
But the thing that he did was run to God.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what he did, and that is the answer.
Amen.
Now, we're in 1 Chronicles chapter 11, and we'll start at verse 10. Now, this is some years later. See, while David was running from Saul, while he was in the wilderness, was a period of maybe as much as 10 years. We don't know for sure, but he was a goodly period of time that he was on the run. And so here it says, now these were the heads of the mighty men. It's 1 Chronicles 11:10. These were the heads of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom with all Israel to make him king according to the word, the word of the Lord concerning Israel. And this is the number of the mighty men whom David had. And it goes on and gives us the name, Jashobeam, the son of Ahakmonite, chief of the captains. He lifted up his spear against 300 killed by him at one time. This guy, Jashobeam, killed 300 men at one time with his own spear. You say, well, that's pretty spectacular. Yeah, it is. This is probably one of those guys that was distressed, discontent, and a debtor. Something happened. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Aoite, who was one of the three mighty men. He was with David at Pasdamim. Now there the Philistines were gathered for battle, and there was a piece of ground full of barley, and the people fled from the Philistines. When it says the people fled, that means David's army. That's who it's talking about. But these three mighty, it says, they stationed themselves in the midst of the field, defended it, and killed the Philistines, and the Lord saved them by a great deliverance. Now, let's read on a little bit. So we're seeing that these guys that were distressed, debtors, and discontent, and the same ones that wanted to stone David, now there's something's happened. Then we read in verse 15, now three of the 30 chief men went down to the rock to David, into the cave of Adullam, and the army of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in a stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David said with longing, oh, that someone would give me a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by their gate. Now, David was raised in Bethlehem, and the hometown water always tastes better. Mm. You don't ever forget the taste of your hometown water. Mm. And here he is, he's in the battle. There's all kinds of stuff going on, and he just gets thinking about that, how cool that water was out of that well there at Bethlehem. He said he really would like to have a drink. So in verse 18 it says, So the three broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, David would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. For he said, far be it from me, O my God, that I should do this? Shall I drink the blood of these men who have put their lives in jeopardy? For at the risk of their lives they brought it. Therefore he would not drink it. These things were done by the three mighty men. Now, brothers and sisters, these were some of the same guys that was those distressed, discontent, and debtors. Those same ones that had decided they was going to stone David. Mm-hmm. Something happened. Mm-hmm. Period of time, something happened. You say, oh, well, they all got saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost. Well, they probably did. You know, something spiritual happened. But I want to tell you that some other stuff happened too. There's some other stuff that happened. They established a relationship with David.
Amen.
Mm. They became connected to him. Not just as king, but they were connected to this man.
Willing to die for him.
That's right. These guys, they had to fight their way in and fight their way out to bring him a drink of water. Mm. That's a pretty awesome thought. Mm. You know anybody to do that for you?
Mm-mm.
I don't even know if I know anybody that would do that for me at this point. You say, well, you ain't David. No, I'm not.
Hmm.
No, I'm not. But I guarantee you that ability and that calling didn't go away. God wants things to be that way. God wants things to be that way.
Amen.
And so what is it?
To be committed enough to be willing to die.
That's right. And they love David. You say, oh, well, that's just a story in the Bible. Well, you can believe that if you want, but I don't. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. I don't believe it's just a story in the Bible. I believe it's reality. And I believe it's the way it's supposed to work. And I think we've lost something because we don't understand how that works. But I'm going to tell you what I think. There is a remedy to it. But the church today... God's church today will fight over the color of a carpet or the placement of a table inside of a room and think nothing of it and destroy each other with words because of some simple, stupid thing like what I just described. It wasn't even as drastic. These people come home and their houses were burned and their families were carried off captive. That's pretty drastic. But we squabble and separate over nothing because we didn't get our way.
Amen.
It didn't go the way I wanted it to. They didn't talk to me about it. Well, maybe they didn't have to talk to you about it. So, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. He says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Now, the King James and the New King James says chastening, but there are other translations that word chastening means discipline or training. Do not despise the chastening of the Lord, the training of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, chastens, trains, and scourges every son whom he receives. You see, God wants to train you. You see, just because you've been born again, baptized in water, because you've maybe even been baptized in the Holy Spirit, can speak in tongues and prophesy even, that don't mean you have any training. Because those are giftings, and the Spirit of God moves in those. But training is something else. Chastening, discipline, training is another thing. And that has to happen so that God's character can be worked in us. You see, you can be born again and be a no-count.
Mm-hmm.
You can.
Amen.
I promise you, I've seen some people, they were saved, they received Jesus as Lord, but their lives didn't count at all for the things of God because they didn't think right.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't act right. Paul was talking to a group of folks like that in Romans chapter 12 when he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren. You see, he's talking to the church. That you be not conformed to this world. Being conformed to this world is widespread in the church. And until we decide to be transformed and conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus by the renewing of our minds. You see, it happens. You've been conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus in your spirit man. But in your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, that's another deal. It was your spirit man that got saved, not your soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And you have to decide you're going to retrain that. Renew your mind. Retrain your thinking. Retrain your will so you will according to the will of God and not what you want. But that takes time.
A lifetime.
Yes, and God's patient. God loves you. You say, well, how in the world do I get trained? Well, let me take you to another little verse.
You should be making progress all of that time. I'm not saying
that. Oh, yeah.
Until almost your lifetime's over, then start.
Yeah, well, but some of us have because we didn't know any different.
Yes.
We just thought, well, I'll go to church and I'll be a good little boy. I'll read my Bible and I'll pray and I'll bring my tithes and I'll go to church two or three times a week and I'll be all right. Well, you're saved, you're God's kid, but you ain't worth a hoot.
Mm-hmm. The Lord wants me.
I love you, but you ain't worth a hoot because you can't do nothing. Mm-hmm. You don't know how. Nobody trains you. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5. He says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Now, Brother Coy taught me this, after God told him, this thing about humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. Everybody said, well, I want to be under the mighty hand of God. No, you don't. Because you don't even know what the mighty hand of God is. We think, well, I'll just go to, I'll pray and talk to God, and He'll tell me what to do, and I'll do what He said do, and I'll be under the mighty hand of God. That is one aspect. But that's not all of it, brothers and sisters. The mighty hand of God is whatever authority there is that God has put in your life.
Amen.
And until you are willingly come under the authority, did you read what He said there in verse 5? Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. There's a submissive. And listen, there's some folks out there that know some stuff. Mm-hmm. That have some understanding and wisdom. They got it by hard knocks. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to get it that way. You can get it by listening to what they say.
Amen.
And allowing God to train you through a relationship, a communion that God will build between you and that older person who's walked with God for 40 years and has some understanding and has proven it by his character. Proven it by who he is. He may not have a great big church. He may not be the most anointed speaker in the world, but he's got proven character. And that counts for God. Character and gifts are two different things. There's a lot of people have gifts, charisma, that don't have any character. They'll lie to you at the drop of a hat and steal from you and commit adultery with your wife.
Mm.
They've been on the radio and TV.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And you say, well, who are you talking? It doesn't make no difference who I'm talking about. I'm just telling you that's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
So there has to be a willing submission. And here you say, well, how can I find somebody to help me with it? Well, ask God first to put somebody before you.
Amen.
Pray and ask God, Lord, who is it that you want me to come under so I can learn, so I can be disciplined and trained, so I can... See, you know what God wants to do? God wants to make mighty men of God out of you, just like these mighty men of David's.
Mm-hmm.
But there has to be training and discipline and character built into you. I'm not questioning your salvation. That's not what I'm doing. I'm not telling you you're not saved. You see, the whole issue is not about you getting to go to heaven. Well, what you going to go to heaven looking like?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are you going to go to heaven looking like?
I know of a young fellow that I've been trying to encourage to eat better, and along with I'm trying to do it myself. But he said, well, you know, why do I want to do that? I just die and go to heaven. You know, that's not a bad thing. And I said, well, okay. I said, if you want to stand before the Lord and Him say, what are you doing up here? I had some things for you to do, and you didn't finish what you did, what you were supposed to do, because you wouldn't take care of yourself. If you want to stand before the Lord and hear Him say that, you go right ahead on. You know, He's got things for us to do.
And He and
don't need us up there. He needs us down here to do what He said do.
That's right.
And so He said, well, when you put it that way.
That's right. See, let me read something to you here. I'll go back to the Chronicles, chapter 12. It says, now these were the men who came to David at Ziklag while he was... This is chapter 12, verse 1. These were the men who came to David at Ziklag while he was still a fugitive from Saul, the son of Kish. And they were among the mighty men, helpers in the war, armed with bows, using both the right hand and the left, and hurling stones and shooting arrows with the bow. They were of Benjamin, Saul's brethren. Now listen, these came to be part of David's army. Do you know that Jesus is your David and you are to be a part of His army? Bible says that God Almighty is the Lord of hosts. And you may or may not know it, but that word hosts in the Hebrew means armies.
Mm.
Armies. God has an army. And the church is it. You ever hear that song, Onward Christian Soldiers? Well, there's a reason for that song. And so these men came to David. They were armed with bows, using both the right hand and the left. They were skilled and trained, qualified and equipped. And somehow or another, somebody had to teach them how to do that. Now this is a natural picture here. But it says when they were using both the right hand and the left, I think that means they were skillful in doing things in the natural realm and in the spiritual realm. Mm-hmm. You have to be trained. I can show you a verse in Hebrews chapter 5 that talks about a man's senses being exercised where he can discern good and evil. Your natural senses, you can just see evil. You can hear it, but you have to be trained. It doesn't just happen, boys and girls.
Amen.
It's a thing that you have to give yourself to. And God does that through relationship. These men came to David and became related, connected to him. And God honored that. And God allowed David and some of the other men that he had trained to train all of these people and make an army out of them. But we think we just need to get saved, go to church, and be good little boys and girls, and read our Bible once in a while, and talk to God when we think about it, or if we really got a need,
mm-hmm.
we go tell Him what we want and how to do it,
mm-hmm.
and everything will be all right. Well, God loves you, but everything's not all right. He's not all right. There's more to this walk with God than just a feel-good thing. You know what an army's for?
Mm-hmm.
A war.
Mm-hmm.
An army is for a war, but you have to be trained to be in that army, to be of any use. You even listen, the United States Army even trains its truck drivers. They train its the cooks, whatever, wherever you participate, there's some measure of training. Now, you say, well, they did me, but I didn't get nothing out of it. Well, that's probably because you didn't try to get anything. You can get something out of anything if you're wanting to get something out of it. 1961, which is a long time ago, the National Guard unit that I was in was federalized during what was the so-called Berlin Crisis. That's when they built that Berlin Wall that they tore down nearly 30 years later, 28 years later. And they put me... I was a sergeant in the National Guard in Baton Rouge, and they called us over to Fort Polk, and they gave me and two other guys, each of us, a stack of books about a foot and a half high that was field manuals on everything from first aid to military law. And being it was the National Guard, they always made shortcuts, and they gave me those manuals, gave the other guys the manuals, and said, you guys are going to teach lessons to these men on these things they never had. Well, I'd never had any training in it either.
Mm.
But they said, you can read, can't you? And I said, yes, I can. They said, well, you read these books and you make lesson plans. And they showed me how to make a lesson plan, and you're going to teach these classes. And besides all that, you're going to be graded on how you teach the classes. And I'm a 23-year-old boy. And you know what? God used that to teach me, train me for what I do today. Mm-hmm. But I was teaching classes on stuff that nobody had ever taught me anything on. Mm-hmm. And I was required to talk to groups of men anywhere from 10 to 200 people, and they graded me on how well the other people paid attention. Mm. Well, I got something out of that.
Amen. And it's, whether anybody else
did or not, I got something out of it. And it's not, I got something from the manuals, but I got the ability to do that. I can open the book and get into it. God used that as part of my training. And so I'm telling you, God will use stuff that don't make any sense to you at the time to train you, qualify you, and equip you for something that He has in your life. But you have to allow Him to put you in a place of being under authority. I was under authority. I was under orders in the National Guard. Did I like it? No.
So you didn't really have the option not to read the manuals, not to do that. But in civilian life, there are times that we just don't do what God says do and what He sends our way. We won't read the book.
No, no. Well, I don't have anybody standing over me saying, you got to do this.
Right, and so...
I do, really. The Holy Spirit is there prodding me all the time. But most of the time, we don't pay attention to that.
Mm-mm.
We get used to not listening.
But if we go through life and we don't do what God says do and we don't pass the test that He sends our way, then you get to do it later.
Yep.
And when I say it's a lifetime process, there's no just day that you get to know that you know it all and quit.
Hey, listen. Years ago when we had a school at the church, I told the kids they was going to be in school all our life, and they all about fainted. And I said, I'm still in school. Mm-hmm. I'm still being trained.
Amen.
I still got people telling me what to do. And that's not bad. It's a safe place to be under authority. It really is.
Yes.
So ask God for who it is that He wants you to be under their care, under their authority, so you can learn to be a mighty man of God, that you can be like David's mighty men. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your goodness and Your kindness. I thank You, Lord, for Your hand on Your sons and daughters that are hearing my voice. I thank You, Lord, that You're working in their lives and drawing them to Yourself and revealing to them, Father, Your purpose in them and through them and for them. And I say in the name of Jesus that anything that would attempt to hinder that has no power, no authority, no effect in their lives, but they can move straight towards what You've spoken this morning, Father. And I thank You and I praise You for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, one of the